This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I love good branding. I like companies that employ unique, clever names that create a lasting impression in your memory bank. And that's why I love the name of this week's Focus, a platform in Australia called Rare Birds that aims to empower as many female entrepreneurs as possible via various models that include storytelling, mentorship, funding, and community building. Rare Birds has big goals and is doing big things to broaden their initiatives on a global stage. Their number one target is to have a community of 1 million female entrepreneurs worldwide by 2020, and they're doing everything it takes to reach that milestone.
Yes, we definitely are on track to reach that goal. We chose 1 million because it's a number that I think it is, you know, when I started the business 26 months ago, it seemed like an unattainable goal. Mm-hmm. And I think that there always needs to be a stretch target or a, you know, big, hairy, audacious goal in any business. Now that we've started the organisation and we've seen how many women globally do have aspiration to be entrepreneurs, I truly believe that we will not only exceed it, but we will probably double it.
Hey, I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and I had the opportunity to speak with Joe Burston, founder of Rare Birds, to get into the finer details of this impressive, inspiring venture. You're listening to Open for Business, Going Global, and this week we're taking the show to Australia. The first question that keeps popping up in my mind is about the name of your community, and I'm wondering, why call it Rare Birds or Inspiring Rare Birds? So, like, tell me, Joe, why did you decide to call it that?
One of the women in my community is called Andrea Culligan, and she's also featured in our first title, Australia's 50 Influential Women Entrepreneurs, and she has a branding agency in Australia. And when I spoke to her about the business I wanted to start, I wanted her to create the brand for us. So I spent some time with her and I really downloaded my thoughts around the fact that I didn't want the brand to be gender specific. I wanted it not to be pink, which is what a lot of women's sort of organisations do. And I wanted it to have a little bit of humour, you know, a little bit of cheek in it as well. And of course, we know that female entrepreneurs globally are a rare breed. The numbers in comparison to male-led companies are quite vastly different, which is one of the motivations to start the business. And birds, because the irony is that the most beautiful of the two birds in a species is always the male. So it's a little, there's just a little bit of humour in there as well. I think that what's most interesting is that the brand is globally recognised. I think people see that it's a serious business, but with a little bit of humour as well.
Imagine I was someone who knew nothing about Rare Birds. How best would you explain it to me to make me understand? How would you summarise what Rare Birds is to those who may not know what it actually is?
Really simple. And the organisation has a vision of 1 million more women entrepreneurs in our community globally by 2020 and a mission to give every woman globally the opportunity to be an entrepreneur by choice. So we provide the tools and resources that individuals need in order to grow themselves and their businesses through mentoring, education, community and resources and money, and wrapped around a community that helps them do that.
Okay, when you say by choice, what does that mean? Give them the opportunity to be an entrepreneur by choice.
Well, when you're at school, the choices are that you can become a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or another profession. Entrepreneurship at large is not a choice at school. It's not a subject that you study. It's generally not addressed until you're either at university, out of university, or working and then become an owner of something. So by enabling entrepreneurship to be a career choice, it enables people to see that it is something that they can pursue well and truly before they've left school or university.
you explained to me what Rare Birds is, but why did you decide to start it? Like, what made you realize that empowerment is needed and that you needed to be the one to sort of build a platform for it?
Sure. In 2013, or sorry, I'll go to 2012, I was awarded a PSC Foundation Award in Australia, which was to recognise my contribution to technology mid-career. And that was a great achievement for me to have. I stood on a stage at Parliament House or Government House in Australia and looked out to a sea of faces to accept this award, and most of the faces in the audience were men. I then went to Melbourne not long after that and was awarded something else in technology, and I was at the table with 12 entrepreneurs and I was the only woman at the table. So I started to think about why that was the case. You know, what is going on here? I didn't think it was right or wrong. I just thought, I want to know why. You know, my sense of curiosity as an entrepreneur started to kick in and think about it. And so I took a film crew to my old school in Sydney, in Pitney Point High School and Reeves South Public School in 2013 to really understand what are some of the aspirations, the ambitions of the young women or the next generation who perhaps are thinking about different career choices. I talked with them a lot about their ambitions, and I talked to them about entrepreneurship and business ownership. And what startled me the most was when I asked them what an entrepreneur was, they all thought it was a man. And I guess that particular moment in time was the genesis for me to stop and think, why is it that they think being an entrepreneur is a man's job, or being in business or owning a business is a man's role? And what came to light for me was that it was because that is what they could see. That was the environment that they were sitting in. And I have a strong belief that you can't be what you can't see. So on the back of that reasoning, I started to think about how to create role models, and role models of female entrepreneurs in Australia who could be illuminated and celebrated, and that we could tell their stories, their genuine and authentic stories about them being in business and what their achievements were. And the catalyst of that was to start the business and then also create our first title of Australia's 50 Influential Women Entrepreneurs and make 50 role models for these, not just young women, but other young people to see that very ordinary women are doing extraordinary things, and I could just be like that as well. And so that was the start of the entire business, and that's why I started it.
There's been a spike in the number of women entrepreneurs lately, and Forbes did an article early this year titled Why the Force Will Be with Women Entrepreneurs in 2016, which is obviously a Star Wars reference as well. But why do you think the trend is shifting in this direction? What changes can you see from your standpoint?
There's a couple of reasons. The first thing is, by contextual background, women currently control around 27% of the world's wealth, which is a small number in comparison to the ratio of the population to men to women. That's a staggering $22 trillion. Now, women are starting businesses in developed world at twice the rate of what men are, and in the undeveloped world, it's three times the rate that men are starting businesses. What women do with profit is really interesting. So of every dollar that a female earns in a developed country or within their own business, they reinvest 90 cents of that into their own community or their families, which contributes to the nutrition, education and health of those things. So they actually have a huge, not just economic impact because they're employing people, but they have a huge social impact because they're reinvesting in the well-being and education of their families and their community. In men, it's only 40 cents in the dollar in the developed nations that we know of. So if you think about the number of women that are creating businesses being at a rate that is faster than men, and the amount of income that they reinvest back into their families and their communities at large, the ripple effect socially to a country's economy, but also the social impact is going to be quite extraordinary. The third thing is that To empower women financially means that they have their own choices. And that means that, again, from a social impact perspective, there's going to be less women with no money when they get to retirement age.
I'm having a chat with Joe Burston, serial entrepreneur and founder of Australian-based Rare Birds, a platform that aims to inspire and empower women entrepreneurs. Stick around because there's more to come after the break. Open for business, going global. We'll be right back.
Bring forth money. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Open for Business, Going Global, and my guest this week is all the way in Australia. Her name is Jo Burston, and she is the founder of Rare Birds, a platform that aims to empower as many female entrepreneurs as possible in order to create a global community of 1 million entrepreneurs by 2020.
I mean, there's 880,000 female-led companies in Australia alone, mm-hmm. and so if we were to double just that number in, you know, that 4 or 5 years that we run the business, then we've pretty much already reached our goal. So if you look at it from an Australian perspective, we're on track to do that. But because the business is global and the populations of the countries that we're also managing the business through, which are through Asia, through the US and through the UK, then, you know, the population there is quite staggering compared to Australia. So I've no doubt that we will have the ability to reach that number.
My question is, as a man, or just as men in general, what can we do to support a cause like Rare Birds? Or how can we be a part of a movement, even with the women around us or in our lives, who may have the same aspirations and ambitions as some of the women in Rare Birds?
Thank you. I appreciate you asking that question. The first thing is that Rare Birds is not a women's organisation. It's an organisation that supports women entrepreneurs, and that support comes from all diversities. And just like in business, we're surrounded by all different types of people. We're surrounded by men and women, different cultural backgrounds, different demographic backgrounds, and from different geographic locations. So my thinking is always everybody is involved in the business and that an entrepreneur is running. So a female entrepreneur on her own is not a lone wolf. It's not a shining star that can exist on its own, and it requires the support of both men and women for her to be able to grow as a person and grow her business. So the best thing that men can do is actually just participate in that journey, and whether that be as a support role, being present, being a part of the conversation, attending events that are, you know, focused on women entrepreneurs, and really just showing the initiative to say, I'm going to be a part of the journey with her, is what we ask guys to do. I mean, we all have male lawyers and accountants and IT providers. We have female ones as well. But the important thing to recognise is the world can't run just all with women. It can't run all just with men either. And it takes inclusiveness and diversity for that to happen. So we're very much of the opinion that when, for example, we have events, the doors are wide open. We want men to come along. I want men to bring their daughters. I want women to bring their sons, because it all contributes to the success and the support of that female entrepreneur.
What are the kinds of initiatives that Rare Birds takes to empower aspiring women who want to be entrepreneurs?
There's four pillars in the business. The first one is mentorship. So we have a mentor program, which is a 12-month program. It's not exclusive to Australia. It can be driven anywhere in the world. So for an example, we could have a female entrepreneur in Malaysia being mentored by somebody in the UK or being mentored by somebody in Australia. It's a technology platform that enables that to do it. It's a 12-month program. And we look at the individual's required strengths, and we look at the mentor's strengths. We try and match up what the entrepreneur is trying to achieve with the strengths of the mentors that also apply to give their time. They dedicate 4 hours a month to that program as a mentor, and at the end of after 12 months, the mentoree or the entrepreneur can start to look in hindsight at the results of growth within themselves and the company. That's documented online. It's automated data collection online as well. Your second pillar of the organisation is around money and funding, and that's helping women have access to grants, government and private grants that might be available to help them grow their business, and also access to understanding what it means to become investable as a business. So we have a program that helps women understand what it means to become invested in by a seed or an angel investor and how to do the due diligence around that and pitch your business. The third part of the community is around education. And obviously that's through our event series, which we run globally. And I'm really pleased to say that we do actually have an ambassador for Redbirds in Malaysia, who's a very well-known serial entrepreneur who put his hand up to become that ambassador. And we will run events in Malaysia where women can come along and learn from other entrepreneurs how to be better at what they do and how to grow themselves and their organisations. And also the education program is, we've written another program which is specifically for youth. So we're hoping to roll that out throughout schools in Australia and outside of curriculum globally, so that young people, the next generation, have access to learning about entrepreneurship when there's no risk, and learning the mindset of entrepreneurship while they're at school. So we have successfully run our trials in Sydney and throughout Victoria, and we'll be rolling that out next year through a number of schools within and outside of curriculum. And the last pillar, of course, is probably one of the most important, and that's community and resources, and that's being able to be part of a tribe of like-minded people. And we're now over 30,000 women and their supporters in our community globally. We've reached 130 countries in our digital marketing, and we've had just over 260 million eyes read our content. So what we're trying to do there is really form a tribe or a community where women feel safe to share their issues, where they feel safe to reach to somebody else to share experience, and to help each other, you know, close the borders between trade, between our countries. So the ultimate goal with that community, of course, is to have perhaps a woman in Sydney connecting with a woman entrepreneur in Malaysia and doing business together.
There's a very famous paper that was transcribed on NPR in 2015 called Why Are Women Less Likely to Become Entrepreneurs Than Men? And it was discussed on the World Economic Forum website as well. It basically looks at the psychology of entrepreneurs and says that the reason there are more male entrepreneurs is because of a psychological error, which is overconfidence or hubris in men, whereas women display more humility and are more grounded. So basically, if a man starts a project and fails, he's more likely to blame others instead of himself and try again and again, displaying what people perceive as tenacity or drive or perseverance, whereas based on the paper and the experiments that they conducted, if a woman fails, she's more likely to absorb the blame and decide that, you know, this may not be the right thing for her. But of course, there are many exceptions, and like I said, there's a big tectonic shift happening. But what's your take on this? Is this something you've come across? And if you have,
I do agree with that. As a general rule, like you said, there are exceptions to it. I think there's exceptions to everything, and I know some phenomenal women entrepreneurs who just wouldn't even think that for a second. You know, they make a mistake, they get back up, and I would say I'm probably one of those. But yeah, by and large, I think that the attitudinal approach that some men have in general is different to what women have. And what I mean by that is, when a guy generally sees what they want to achieve or the goal they want, they just go for it. They go at it and they go for it. Even if they don't have all the skills, they don't have all the networks that they need, they'll still focus on it singularly and go for it, where a female probably takes more time to think about it, weighs up the risk, starts to wonder if she's capable of doing it. Do I have the right skills? Do I have the right network? So the questioning involved with her becomes more complicated, where I think the guy just sees a straight line between the idea and the goal.
Okay. Okay, to cap things off, everything works best by example. And you say that you inspire women via storytelling. So why not we inspire the women who are listening now via your story? Since you are a serial entrepreneur and you founded Rare Birds and you're now running this amazing initiative, tell us a bit about your story. What drove you to becoming an entrepreneur? And better yet, who was your mentor and how did having that mentor benefit you?
It's a great story. I worked in a corporate organization until I was 32 years old. I'm now 44. And at the time I was running the company I was working with, it was a $100 million company. I was doing very well. I had a lovely big home. I had a good salary. But I was actually quite unhappy. And I was very, very ambitious and felt that I had more to give and more places to go in my career. And I didn't see that business as being the end result of that. To cut a long story really short, not long after my fifth year in that company, I met a serial entrepreneur in Australia, and he was probably one of the original entrepreneurs who built his first company and sold it in 1985, a company called Hisoft. It was the first reseller of computer hardware in Australia. And it was a $200 million company, and the guy was 25 when he did it. When I met this particular entrepreneur, I was 32, and he was, I think he was in his probably 50, early 50s. And he had already six or seven businesses that he had built and sold. And when I met that person, as I said before, you can't be what you can't see. It was really the first serial entrepreneur that I'd ever met. And I was absolutely fascinated by what he had achieved. And in that moment of meeting him, this thought came over me immediately, and that was, this is who I want to become. This is who I want to aspire to become like. That's, I love the excitement. I love the storytelling. I love the idea of building fast growth companies. And I wanted to learn as much as I possibly could from that person. And instead of, pitching the services of the business I was working for to him as a potential customer, he talked to me about what my next moves were in the company. And one of the things he said to me was, you're smarter than this. You're smarter than the company you work for. What are you going to do next? And I thought, well, I don't know, but if I was actually going to build my own company like you have, this is what it would look like. And I started to articulate what I thought it would look like. And what was really interesting was within the next 6 weeks, he became my initial investor and he became my mentor, and I left my job and I started my first business called Job Capital. And to this day, 12 years later, he's still my mentor and still the non-executive chairman of the company. So I was probably in the right time at the right place, but I also took the right steps, to believe that I could do it myself. And I had someone in my corner who was this investor and this entrepreneur who believed I could as well. And so that was the support I needed to get going. And that was four or five companies ago now.
That was Joe Burston, serial entrepreneur and founder of Rare Birds, an Australian-based platform that aims to empower women entrepreneurs via creative methods that include storytelling and mentorship. If you're keen to know more, do check out their website over at inspiringrarebirds.com. And as always, if you'd like to listen to this episode of Going Global or any of the previous episodes, including a pretty cool chat I had with Max Bracey, owner of the Viking Store in London, or Inoki Chan, founder of Inoki Records in Singapore, head on over to bfm.my or stream us on the new BFM app. This is Arvind Yuvaraj. Stay safe and have a good weekend, everyone. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.